you have a lot of material in front of you. Don't be surprised if I don't get to all the material. Some of it may even have to wait for the next few weeks. Right now I'm in the process of trying to figure out where to place emphasis in this year, but I'm sure that it will come as we begin. It's Parashat Shemot. Vayigdal Hayeled, number one. Vayigdal Hayeled, the child grew up. Vatavyehu Levat Paro. The woman who had been nursing the child, Moshe, she brought the child to the daughter of Paro, Vayimol Levan. He was to her like a son. Vatikra Shema Moshe. She called his name Moshe. Vatome. She said, "Ki min hamayim mishitihu." I took him out of the water. I removed him from the water. What we're really after is an understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu as he steps out onto the stage of history. We're talking about somebody who's going to become the most influential person in all of Jewish history. He becomes one of the 13 articles of the faith that we believe with perfect faith that Moshe is the greatest of all prophets who ever was and who ever will be. All of Torah depends on our belief that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of all prophets. There are three incidents that are described as Moshe makes his debut on the stage. We're going to talk about two of them. The first one is, Vayi Bayom Ahem, it came to pass for those days, Vayidal Moshe Vayetzel Achav. Moshe grew up and he went out to his brothers, Vayar Besivlotam, and he saw their suffering, Vayar Ish Mitzvi, Makeh Ish Mitzvi Me Echav, and he saw an Egyptian man striking a Hebrew man, may echov, from his brothers. Vayif and Kovakov, and he turned here and there. Vayarki in Ish, and he saw that there is no man. Vayaket HaMitzri, and he struck the Mitzri. And it means, of course, not only that he struck him, but he killed him. Vayif Menehu Bachol, and he hid him in the sand, in the dunes of sand. Quite a first step to be taken by the one who's going to be the savior of the Jewish people. But on its simplest level, I would say it certainly has to be understood as the first great blow that is struck for freedom. Finally, the Jew hits back. Enslaved, persecuted, beaten, children thrown into the Nile, and Moshe knows that better than most. And finally, a blow is struck for freedom. We're not talking about an act of murder. We're talking about an act on behalf of a fellow Jew who is in dire straits. There's a lot more to be said over there. Vayetzei Vayom HaSheni, and he went out on the second day. V'inei Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim, there are two Hebrews who are struggling with one another. Vayomer l'Rosha, so he said to the Rosha, Lama take re'echo, why do you strike your friend? Vayomer, and he said to him, Mi son cholish, who made you a man, sar, a minister, v'shofet aleinu, the judge over us? Halahargeni atah omer, do you intend to kill me, kasher harakta et hamitzvi, as you killed the Egyptian? Vayigal Moshe, and Moshe was frightened. Vayomar, he said, "Ochein noda hadavar." It is known. There are people who know that I struck the Mitzri and killed him. Vayishma Paro et hadavar. I was there. Paro heard. Paro heard this thing. Vayivakeish laharok et Moshe, and he wanted to kill Moshe. Vayivrak Moshe mitnei Paro. Moshe fled from before Paro. Vayeshev ve'edetz Midyan, and he sat down. Or he settled in the land of Midyan, Vayeshev al-Hapa'er, and he sat by the well. The third story, of course, is going to be that the shepherds who made things difficult for the daughters of Yitro, and he saw injustice, and he saved the daughters of Yitro from the shepherds. So forth on a simplest yet profound level, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out the first day and he sees injustice from a non-Jew to a Jew. He cannot tolerate the injustice. He kills the non-Jew. He goes out on the second day and he sees a struggle between Jews, Jew against Jew, and he cannot tolerate the injustice, so he speaks up. We would have thought that now, when he has to flee his home, everything they knew about, he's a fugitive, we would think that Moshe Rabbeinu would have learned the lesson, do yourself a favor and mind your own business. So he comes to Midian, and there's a struggle between non-Jews. So vulgar, so hardened, what do you care? But Moshe Rabbeinu's sense of justice is that finely honed, so carefully tuned, that when he sees an injustice between one non-Jew to another non-Jew, he also has to stand up and take action. I don't know whether I just have this feeling went flying through my head at some point, in a sense. In these three incidents, we may very well see how Jewish history plays itself out to the very end. The first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, or any great leader of the Jewish people, will have to do, the great task that is going to be before him, is to save Jews from the hands of non-Jews. When the enemy from without, when the enemy from without is taken care of, there's going to be a second problem that will have to be dealt with. And that's the struggle of Jew against Jew from within. And that ultimately, the final step that is going to come to Yemot HaMashiach, and Yeshayahu speaks about it, that ultimately, through Mashiach, will come peace between non-Jew and non-Jew. Lo yisod goy el goy cheder, no nation will lift up a sword against another nation. Mashiach is going to be the one who will admonish the Hoshiach Amim Rabin. He's going to admonish many people. He's going to bring peace to the face of this earth. In these three incidents, I see the ultimate playing out of Jewish and world history. Right now, we're still at the first pasuk. We've been at the first pasuk, the struggle between Jew and non-Jew, for about 2,500 years now. We're still at that stage in the struggle. We are, of course, deeply, deeply involved in the second stage, which is the struggle between Jew and Jew, and they're going on simultaneously at the same time. We're not yet up to the third stage, which will be the closing stage of history, or the beginning of a new history. Right, but now first we have to see what's happening over here. I think we're going to start with the Malbim. We may go back to the Rashi, and then we're going to study some Medrash. Let's go. The Malbim is number 3, Vayigdal HaYeled. The child grew up. Vayam Hashgachat Hashem Shegam Acha Shegadal Shekvar Avra Hachemla Shaudev Liva Alav Be'et Shemetza'a Oto Azuv Umushlach Be'kolze Lakol Toleben. First statement that he says is that, you know, there is there are the first moments of great mercy and compassion that the daughter of Paro has for this child, little crying child that she finds. Who would not be moved to mercy, pity, and compassion? The Pasuk is saying, "Vayigdal HaYeled," the child grew up. He's not a child anymore. He may be an rambunctious teenager. The period of pity and compassion, and maybe even being very cute, have passed. And despite that, she sees something in this child that she takes him unto herself as a son, because according to the pasuk, when does she take him as a son, in a sense, adopt him? Only after he's grown up. V'zahayam mehashgacha Hashem. She yigdal the Beit Melech. Annette came over to me and asked me right before the shiur, how did Moshe Rabbeinu become Moshe Rabbeinu in the house of Pharaoh? So I told her I may read something that will be an answer. I don't know if it's going to satisfy her, but I think we have no other choice but to listen very carefully to the words of the Malbim. V'zahayam mehashgachat Hashem, it was divine providence. Number one, she yigdal the Beit Melech, that he should be raised in the house of a king. Rishom lamad kol chachmat Mitzrayim, he learned all of the wisdom of Egypt. V'hayolo lev amitz da'giborim, he had a courageous heart of the mighty. Ki hayom they pout him, because he was one of the sons, one who grew up in the palace. U'becholzeh, and even more than that, maybe the greatest hashgachas Hashem is Shalo Yishkach Amo, that he doesn't forget his people, Umoladato, in his birthplace. Bameh Shekoro Shemo Moshe, Shemavkir, by virtue of the fact that she calls him Moshe. You know what's accomplished by that? He doesn't realize it. He most probably says, why'd you call me Moshe? What's the meaning of Moshe? He said, you know, we found you in a basket in the river. What was I doing in a basket in the river? I'm a foundling? I mean, so obviously, this is something that brought to light the story of his origins. There was Hashgach Hashem, he shouldn't forget his people and his birthplace. By virtue of the fact she called him Moshe, she didn't even realize what she was doing, what she was accomplishing by calling him Moshe. Shemalki, this reminds him, Shemishapal Talminamayim, that she removed him from the water. Ukrakosov. Philon HaYehudi, Shahyab Alexandria, the Levi Jaini, Philo, the Alexandrian, who lived in the period of the Second Temple, the Sefer, Chaye Moshe, in a Sefer called The Life of Moshe, Sheshem Moshe, the name Moshe is Murkav. It is a composite of the word Mo, which is Mayim, water in Egyptian. Kmo, Mo is also water, Beloshan Arami, in Aramaic. Umin Shah Shuhuloshon Hotsa'a Fahamata Balashon Mitzri Shah means to remove something in Egyptian. Hashem Zen made it, and this name testifies al Mikre Zeh, about this occurrence. Bain Balashon Mitzri, Bain Balashon Ivri, so both in Egyptian, fascinating that both in Egyptian and in Hebrew, the word means the same thing, to have been removed from the water. And so also writes Josephus in Kadmoniyot HaYehudim, V'yedeizeh niskak v'libo tomet shehum hizera v'nei temuta v'chein yorul kol yisrael kihu Yehudi. This reminds him forever his beginnings. It's built into his name. The daughter of Pharaoh didn't know what she was doing when she gave him that name.
What is the mother nursed him, and we don't know how
long. I assume. I'll tell you. Remind yourself. You remember a shear of a few weeks ago. You certainly remember the shear of Devorah. Remember the shear about Devorah. What Devorah is able to accomplish is that she, in the house of Lavan and the Tuel, a house of absolute wickedness, she raises a little child called Rivka, and she turns Rivka into Sora Imeu. She becomes the living image of Sora Imeu. I imagine that Yocheved, you're absolutely right, the mother Yocheved in the palace raising this child, she turns this child into Moshe Rabbeinu.
What was his name? Mm-hmm.
Whose name?
Moshe's name.
Moshe.
No, that's
Moshe.
Given the name Moshe.
In Divrei Hayamim, there is a pasuk that lists 10 names for Moshe. And if we would go through all of the 10 names, yeah, it most probably the sheer will go into extra innings. So, but his name, it seems that Torah here at this point only had to tell us that his name was Moshe. Okay, good. Vayigdal Moshe v'yetzel echov. Moshe grew up and he went out to his brother. So in that, this is all we have to say. Hashgachat Hashem, and we have added to Hashgachat Hashem, we have added the fact, yes, Rhoda's right, that his mother is the one who raised him, and there's a great deal that she was able to do during the period of the years that she was raising him. Yes?
But she didn't raise him in the palace, she raised him, and then she brought him into the palace.
Wherever it was, it seems that certainly some part of his development took place in the palace. That's clearly what what the Malbim is saying. Anyway, Vayigdal Moshe grew up and he went out to his brothers. Yisafer Mitzitkat Moshe, this comes to tell us the righteousness of Moshe. Ve'ech min u'rav hoyubo kol ha'ma'alot shebhabudam zachal l'cholak avodazeh. Even to show us that even from his very youth, he already had all of the character and personality traits that brought him to the point where he became the greatest of all people. Shagam shagot ala beit melech, despite the fact that he grew up in the house of a king. V'yishchoyel hoya oz betachlus hashiflus. And Jews were at the lowest ebb. They were downtrodden. They were nothing. Lo hisir ponot mehem. He did not hide himself from them. V'yotza aleihem mitzad shehein echov. He went out to them. When it says that he grew up and he went out to his brothers, it means that he's taking an amazing step. Great courage is involved in this. He has not forgotten his brothers. Listen to this sentence in the Bible. It says this is the opposite of the nature of men. Somebody who rises to greatness wants to leave behind his brothers or his family who are poor and poverty stricken. You know, once you start moving up into the Haifa fence, you don't really want to have anything to do with the old Mishpucha over there on the east side or Williamsburg. You know, you're already a race in Great Neck or who knows where. I forgot already what's the Haifa fence in New York. I don't know anymore.
Park Avenue.
Park Avenue. All right. So here is it goes against the nature. It goes against man's nature. If Zot Shenit, the second thing, Shero of the Sivlotam, he saw their suffering. Hainu Shehibit Alzeh Be'ein Chemlo V'Libo Olav Davoy. By the way, we're going to go through a number of fascinating negoshim that are going to flesh out the story. But the Malbim is showing us each thing in the words. Vayar B'Sivlotam, he saw their suffering. Doesn't mean he simply saw. He saw the depth and he felt their suffering and his heart was sick. Zot Shlishit, the third thing the Pasuk is telling us, Shero Ish Mitzri Make Ish Ivri Me'echav. He saw an Egyptian who was smiting a Hebrew from his brothers. Shagam Shagotal Bein HaMitzriim Umit Arevi Mahem Hoyu Kizorin Bein. Now, you know what the Pasuk is saying? Despite the fact that he grew up amongst the Egyptians, the Egyptians were not Echav, were not his brothers. Do you know who he saw as his brothers? He saw this downtrodden Jew who's been beaten, dirty and filthy, lying in the lime and the slime and all that. This one he sees as his brother. This is an amazing thing, that a person is able to identify with his brothers under these circumstances. And therefore, for Ha'ish Ha'ifi Hamuka, the Hebrew who's being struck, he felt his sorrow, Mitzachu, who Achiv Atmo v'sorrow. He felt that this Jew is his own flesh and blood. Valhamake Chorato, and the one who struck him, the Egyptian, he got angry, Mitzachu, who Mitzri Nivze v'shafel Beinu. Precisely the opposite. He sees the Egyptian as being a lowly nothing, an ugly person who enslaves another people, and therefore he strikes the Mitzri. Ubazeh, Otah Kamenil Kino, he garbed himself with zealousness, Alakotoet Achiv, HaChashuv Minav, because he struck his brother who is so important to him. We're going to go a little further, then we're going to go to the Medrash. Vayitzen, Yisaper, he turned here and there. Now, when we usually read the Pasuk of he looked here and there, it may leave the impression as though he wants to make sure that nobody sees him. In other words, the person who looks one way and then looks another way. Nobody is looking. Now he kills the mystery. That's not the way the Mefarshim say it. And the reason why the Mefarshim don't say it, because take a look in the Pasuk, it says, Vayifen kol v'chol, he turned here and there, Vayar ki ein ish, and he saw that there is no man. What would have been wrong if it would simply have said, Vayar ki ein ish, he saw that nobody is there, so he struck the mystery. Does it have to tell us how he saw there was no mystery? Maybe he looked up and he looked down and he looked to one side and looked to another. We don't have to know that Vayifen kol v'chol, he turned here and there. All it has to tell us is he saw that there's nobody around, so he went there and he killed him. So the Malmud says, Yisaper, he comes to tell us, King Nosisot bo ruach loki, lishbor zeroach resha, ulfater b'nei tumta. A divine spirit came into him to break the arm of evil and to save human beings who are in terrible straits. Ulfal toma. So the Malmud says, you shouldn't think that Moshe Rabbeinu did this in a fit of passion. He became so enraged at what he saw, he could no longer control himself, and he struck the Mitzri. The puppet wants to say that this was cool, calculated. It was not an act of passion. Ulaval Toma, you shouldn't say he also said, Shalom Batsach Sichlo, he did it without the counsel of his intellect. That we talk cards fit on the sudden anger. That's not an act of heroism. That already turns into a crime of passion. So the Pasuk wants to make sure you shouldn't think of. That's why it says, Shepono kol v'chol lirot im yesh, yesh ish. Ki oso v'matun uvatzat zichlo v'yoda sh'yesh sakono v'zavar m'yivadol ish v'ozi kol v'atzum nefesh achav. The turning here and there, according to the Malbim and according to the Nitziv says it even more clearly. He turned here and there to see, is there anybody who cares? The Jews are being beaten. He may have gone from one government office to another government office. He may have looked to see, does anybody care? When he saw Kienish, nobody cares. And this is the way things are. Jews can just be beaten at will. But, you know, we're talking about somebody who's thinking he wants to know what it is that can be done. And he sees that there's nobody. Then he struck him. Then the Tat Chazal, the Sanhedrin, the Gemara, our rabbis in Sanhedrin say, Shalom Mitzvi Chayiv Misa, the Mitzvi Shehikil Yisrael Chayiv. We're coming to another problem over here. And the problem can be summed up simply. When it says that he saw ish mitzvi. Makeh, is that the word? Makeh ish. What does the word makeh mean? Rashi is going to say, makeh means he's beating him. The word makeh can also mean beating unto death. It can mean two things. Simon Legree is striking his slave. If he's striking his slave and there is no intent to kill or to murder, why does Moshe Rabbeinu kill him? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu kill him? So he brings, of course, that there's a Gemara that says that a striking the Jew is also reason for one to be killed according to Halacha. But it's more than that. It's really going to end up in the following way. If the Mitzri is not attacking the Jew with intent to kill, then Moshe strikes him, as Rashi and the Medrash say. You know how he kills him? By uttering the ineffable name of God, which means, who's the one that's really striking down this mystery? God has decided that he died. If the word makan means he really wants to kill him, then the halacha is the halacha of Rodei. Somebody is pursuing somebody else with intent to kill, it's the responsibility of anybody who is there to strike the first blow. Not only Habola Hargecha, the one who kills you, who wants to kill you, Hashkein Vahargo, Habola Haroge Chavercha, somebody who's coming to kill your friend, then you have to make sure to strike the first blow. Meanwhile, the Malbim says, The Mitzri was Chayat Misa, because Mitzri Shikul Yisrael Chayat. The Hadambam, the Rambam Hilchus Malachim says that he's only Chayat Bidei Shamayim. It is only through heaven. And if so, Moshe Rabbeinu had no right to do it. Balzeh Amar the Medrash, will come to the Medrash, where the Medrash says, the Nimlach B'Tamayi Shomala. Moshe Rabbeinu took counsel and advice with the heavenly court. With the heavenly court? No less than that. Vayaki Enish. The Medrash is amazing. The Medrash says, Vayifin Kol B'Cho, he turned here and there. Vayaki Enish. He saw no man, but you know who we did see? Angels. Malachim Ador. He saw angels. And with them, he took counsel. Yes?
Moshe never heard the name of Hashem until he got to the bush.
Oh, he knew about God. His mother was raising him. He knew how to say Baruch Hashem, in Yirtz Hashem. He knew how to say Zot David that helped him. Heilige Basheta. He knew all of that. The name Eliyashereya, he didn't know. He did not see, as the beginning of Parashat Va'eda says, he never saw God fulfill promises. He knew promises, but he never saw God fulfilling promises. That's what it means. He knew the name of God. Of course he knew the name of God. But he had not seen the name of God in action. He knew the name of God that made promises to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but he didn't know the name of God who had in fact fulfilled the promises. That's what's going to go on. That's going to be the debate between him and God at the snare, and that's going to be the debate that's going to take place at the end of Parashat Shemot and the beginning of Parashat Ayirah. But he knew about God. Trust Yocheved, she taught him, and she taught him well. Ubeterach HaVemez, Sheroa et Hatzmot, Yenohish, Rak Mitzuref Alam Alochim, Yiko Bekorach Haruf Nishavo, and that's why it says, Sheiko B'Shem HaMufurash. Another pshat, the Malbim says in Vayar Kiyin Ish, what an amazing pshat. It says, Vayarki Einish, Moshe saw, that he's not a mere human being. He sees that he's not a human being. He sees there's something spiritual that has overwhelmed him, and he sees Malachim. He's looking here and there, and all of a sudden it strikes him that he's not a mortal like all others. He's not a man. He is part of the those groups that are going to be Malachim. Will there be anybody else? The Kuzri, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri describes, have you ever seen a man who can go for 40 days and 40 nights without eating? Have you seen a man who can walk through fire and come out unscathed? He describes Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all human beings. All right. Quite a description. Now, what do you think Moshe Rabbeinu should be considered by his people after he has struck this great blow for freedom? What do you think? Excellent. Excellent. Hero. Great hero. I mean, this is much more than Spartacus. We're talking about a man of God. You understand? A people that have been downtrodden for all of these years, frightened and terrified of lifting a hand against those who beat them, and finally there's somebody who does it. I can't even remember now anymore if I ever saw it, you know. In Williamsburg we used to have, the Schutzen used to run after us. And you know,
we ran away.
That's right. That's right, Toby. You want to run away too? We ran away. And one of the great. What did she say?
What did she say?
Or you would have written a letter. And one of the great fantasies that I always had is one day. This 97-pound weak woman, I was a little boy. I was very thin. I didn't eat too much. My mother always had aggravation that I didn't eat. And thank God over the years I learned how to eat. The idea of striking back. Striking back. I'm sure the Jews who would know about something of this sort would have had a tremendous surge of pride. Finally, somebody fought back. So he goes out on the next day. He goes out on the second day. Two Jews are struggling with one another. Vayomer the Rosha, he said to the Rosha, Lama taker eyecho, why do you strike your friend? Vayomer, he says, Misam Polish, who's made you a man, a judge, and a minister over us? Do you plan on killing me like you killed the Egyptian? Hero? His fellow Jew looks at him as a fugitive. Not only he looks at him as a fugitive, he's going to turn to Paro and he's going to betray Moshe to Paro. The first act that we hear of a Jew in the history of the relationship between Jews and the nations of the world, a Jew betrays a fellow Jew, no less than Moshe Rabbeinu. It's going to get much worse. According to the Medrash, well, you know what? Let's see the Medrash. Without the Medrash, we're lost here. The Medrash is on page 2. Page 2, you know. Don't ask why there's nothing on the other. Okay, just. Okay. The Medrash, I divided it into four parts. Medrash number 1, the one that I titled God Chooses Moshe. He went out on the second day. Second day, Vayar besid lo tam, he saw their suffering. Man Vayar, what does it mean he saw? Anybody could see their suffering. He saw their suffering and he cried and he said, Chaval li aleichem, I'm so sorry for you. Mi yitain muti aleichem, if only I could die for you. There is no work that is more difficult than the work of construction. He put his shoulder to the burden and he helped Jews carry their heavy burdens. And he helped each one of them carry. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef Glili Oed, Ra'a Masa Godel Al Kotan, who saw a big burden, a big rock on a small person, umaso koton, and a small one on a big person, umaso ish al isha, maso isha al ish, umaso zokin al bokor, umaso bokor al zokin, voya minyan derogun shalo. He put down his garments of malchus, vaholech umyashev lehem sivlotan. He straightened out their burdens, made sure that a stronger person carried the stronger one, the weaker one carried the smaller one. What women should be doing, he took from the men and he gave to the women, and what the men should be doing, he took from the men to the women. The Osek Ilu Masia, Messiah the Paro, and he did it as though he made believe like he's helping out Paro. He doesn't leave the impression that he's a Jew who's come to help them. On our Kodesh Baruch Hu, you left all of your involvements and you went to see the suffering of the Jewish people. You conducted them yourself with them like a brother. I'm going to leave the upper heavens and the lower ones. I'm going to talk with you. That's why it says, by the snare, later on in the parasha, it's going to say, Vayar Hashem Kisor Lidot, God saw that he turned to see. So the simple meaning of the prophet is he sees a bush burning and it's not consumed. So the Medrash is saying, God saw that he had turned from everything he was doing to see the suffering of his brothers. And for that reason, he appears to him. Ro'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Shesor Me'asokov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw about Moshe that he turned from all of his involvements, Lirot B'Sivlotam, to see their suffering. Therefore, Vayikra Elav Elokim Mitoch Hasneh, God called unto him from the bush. Number two. This is already going to become a very difficult medrash. the two, we're going to see that the two who were struggling, the two Jews who were struggling with one another were no less than Dagon and Abiram. No, so they said, no, dia olecha ma'asita l'mitzvah, we're going to tell what you did to the Egyptian. Halahar geni atlamed, do you want to kill me? Atlamed akesh. Shalom namar elata ome, mikana talame, sheshem hamaforesh hiskir ala mitzvah haragam. See, kiva sheshoma came, when he heard that they say that they're going to tell Paro, nipyade, he was afraid of Lashon Hara. The Yom Vayomer, he said, Achein, no dahadavar. It has become known. Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shalom, Mishem, Rabbi Hanina, Hagadol, Rabbi Otenu, Mishem, Rabbi Alexandri, Yomru, Hoyom Moshe, Mahaver, Belibo, Vaomer. And by the way, this is what's expressed in this Medrash is brought by Rashi. He was thinking in his heart, Ma Kotu Yisrael, Shenishtabu, Bunkol, Omus, what is it that Israel did that they become enslaved more than all the nations of the world? Kilon Sheshoma Devorah, when he heard the words of these two, Oma Lashon Hara Yesh Brineim, there is Lashon Hara in their midst. Heif Yuvim L'Gula, how are they going to be worthy of redemption? That's why he says, Achein No Da'adara, it's known. I have the answer to my question, why are Jews enslaved? Ato Yodati, now I know, Be'ezet Dover Himishtati. I know now why they're enslaved. By Yishma Paro, Paro heard, Sha'ondu Dosan Daviram, Yilshinolov. Dosan Daviram went and they told Paro that Moshe, your chuchikul Moshe, who's grown up in your palace, is the one who killed the Egyptian. Shalak Paro sent and they brought a sword, none like it in the world, and ten times they brought it down upon Moshe's neck. His neck became like a marble, and he wasn't hurt. Let's take number three. Where it's on the line, Bechina for Moshe. The ones who told Paro were Hebrews. Shenema, by Yitzchak by Yom Hashemi, he went out on the second day. We made Shnei Anoshim Yivrim meets him two Hebrews who are struggling with one another. He said, Datan Tavidam, these two are Datan Tavidam. Krom meets him. They were called people who are engaged in struggle on Shem Sofam. Heim Shomru Davar Zeh. They're the ones who told Paro. Heim hoyim shahutilu min amon in Parashat Bishalach. We're going to be told that they're the ones who left over from the mon. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, don't leave over from the mon. Nothing will remain in the morning. They left over. Heim hoyim shahumru. They're the ones who said, nitna rovshu no shuvu mitzayma. Let's appoint somebody and go back to Egypt. Heim shehimru al yamsuf. They're the ones who rebelled against Moshe at the Yamsuf, and they said, there aren't enough graves in Egypt that you took us out to kill us in the desert. Have you ever heard anything as ugly as that? This is after 10 plagues. Moshe Rabbeinu was taking them miraculously out of Egypt. And there they are, they're caught on the beach that night, and they have the chutzpah to say, you took us out of Egypt because there aren't enough burial plots in Egypt to kill us here. Dovaraka, here comes what I consider the most important of all. Nitzin, Shoriumit Kavlin, Laharog, Zedzer. The struggle that's taking place between them is they want to kill one another. As it says, Ki Notsu Hanoshim, in Parshat, in Sefer Dron, there's going to be a story about two people that are struggling with one another. For Omar Rabbalaza says, B'matzut Shel Mita Kapil B'daber, the Pasuk is talking about a case where they are fighting to the death. Fighting to the death. Alright. There's still one more part of the story, and we'll come to that story in a moment. What we're talking about here is the following. We once had mentioned this in passing in another share. The picture that we've always had in our mind of Dasan Daviram. Dasan Daviram are Ike and Mike. Mutt and Jeff, Abbott and Costello, Perez and Penrith. Right?
Perez and Penrith.
All right. These two fellas are always hand in hand. They're the ones who say Nitna Roshana Shubhamitskaima. They're the ones who rebel at the Yamsuf. They are, the Medrash didn't bring it, but they're part of Adat Korach. They are the two in the community of Korach. We get the picture in our mind of two people whose hearts beat alike, whose minds think alike. These two people, these fellas are just, you know, twins. And they are brothers. But the very first time that they appear in Torah, they are locked in a struggle to the death. You understand? Two brothers in the process of killing each other. Who saves them from killing each other? Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, in the longer view of history, he made a terrible mistake. He should have let them kill each other, because they are going to cause such suffering to Klal Yisrael, and more of that to Moshe Rabbeinu. So here's amazing. These two people are in the process of killing one another. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who stops. So first of all, what does it mean that they always think alike? They're always together when they want to kill each other. So many years ago I said that the pshat most probably is the following. Dosan Vaviram represent the extremes or the two ends in Jewish history, right and left. Now the fact is that very often right and left have precisely the same ideas. There's an extreme left, there's an extreme left that was opposed to the establishment of the state, that there was an extreme right that was opposed to the establishment of the state. You had the extreme right religious that were opposed, and you had the extreme left. What are you talking about? The reform movement was fighting in the United States that the state of Israel should not come into being. Hebrew University, the professors of Hebrew University from the president down, Magnus was dying in a hospital in New York in 1948, and he made sure to send letters off to Truman to stop this before it ever happens. So the extreme right left of the reform movement, the extreme right of the religious establishment, were equally opposed to the state of Israel. Now what do you think would happen if you take the two extremes and put them in one room? You know what they do? They kill each other. I have a feeling that Dosan Vaviram, in the larger view, represent the two extremes. And that Moshe Rabbeinu has got to learn on the second day that he goes out that this is a reality in Jewish life. That there are going to be extremes who are in the process of killing each other, and when do they unite? Against Moshe. First instance of absolute betrayal, to betray a fellow Jew. This is awesome. This is frightening. Not only that, the Medrash that we haven't learned yet is going to add one extremely important fact to this whole story. Number four. The first part of the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw what was troubling them. He saw that they don't have time to rest. So he went to Paro and he told Paro, if you want slaves to produce, they need a day of rest. So Paro said, great idea. Moshe said, you know, the seventh day of the week, that's the end of the week. Let them take off, and then you'll see that on Sunday and Monday they'll really start working. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu closed all the canyonim, all of the supermarkets of Mitzrayim, all the kibbutzim, he closed everything. And, okay, that was the first thing he accomplished. where the white lines begin. Second line, Omer Rabbi Tainu. Our rabbi said, Zichrono Lebracha. Noksim Hoyum and Amitzim, the taskmasters were Egyptians, the Shotrim, the officers or the police were Israel. Nogeis Mimuna, Alasora Shotrim. Every taskmaster had 10 Jews under him. Shotrim Mimuna, Alasora Yisrael. Each one of the Shotrim had 10 Jews under him. Voyu Anoksim Holchim Lebatei HaShotrim. The taskmasters, the Egyptians, would go to the houses of the Shotrim, the Hashkama, early in the morning, Lahutsiom and Alachtom, the Kriyat HaGever, to get them out to go to work. Pramachat. One time, Holach Nogis Mitzri Eitel Shote Yisrael. An Egyptian taskmaster came to the home of a Shoteir from Yisrael, Benofan Enav Beishto, Shahitah Yifat Toar. He saw his wife, and he lusted for his wife. Beautiful, bleeding moon without blemish. Amar Lashas Kiyach HaGever Rotsiom Yifeto. Early in the morning, he got up, and he got the Jew out of the house to go to work, and then the Mitzri came back, and he committed an illicit act with the wife of this Jew. She thought that this is her husband. Vinit Avrami Venu, she became pregnant. The husband comes back and he sees the Egyptian walking out of the house. So he asked him, he asked her, did he touch you? So she said, yes, because I thought that it was you. Once the Nogates, the Egyptian, got the feeling that the Jew knows what he did, he began beating him. When Moshe Rabbeinu looks here and there, the Medrash says he saw what this Egyptian had done to the Jew in his house and what he had done to him in the field. And then he said, this man deserves the death penalty. Okay. You see where the lines become thinner? Velo od. El Shabal Ishto. See the next two words? Velo al Ishto Shel Datan. Do you know what the message is saying? The woman whom he violated was the wife of Datan. Does that therefore mean that the one whom he was beating was Datan? Datan owes his life to Moshe. On the second day, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out. And who is it that ultimately gives him over to Paro? The same Datan whom he saved from being killed for the Mitzri. Staggers the imagination. What's the Medrash talking about? Don't you see what the Medrash is saying? It's frightening. The same Jew who has been saved by Moshe, the same Jew who Moshe stood up for him, is the one who betrays him on the next day. Obviously, we have to come to a certain conclusion. The conclusion is a painful one, but it's the conclusion that we must arrive at. We're not going to have time yet to speak today, but I think there may be a sequel to this year. It is, according to the Maharal, right here on the spot in the Gurarge, the Shemi Shmuel in a number of places in Chumash, there is a reality. The reality is the reality of Jews who are ready to betray fellow Jews. And both the Maharal and the Shemi Shmuel are going to explain precisely the reasons for it. It makes no sense, but it's a fact. And this is a fact that Moshe Rabbeinu learns the very second day that he goes out amongst his brothers, that there are Jews who will betray him. And you know what else they're going to do? The past is the past. Don't tell me what happened yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. Let me give you a number of examples. And this is, of course, going to be for me personally a catharsis. And for you, I hope it will just, you know, we have to look at the reality. you know, one of my sins, I'm not ashamed of it, but I sin. I read the Haaretz. I read the Haaretz. It aggravates me. Two articles that have caused quite a stir. Just in the last week or two articles that caused a stir. One was Matityahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol and the Maccabees were a bunch of bloodthirsty killers. They were opposed to free speech. Hellenists couldn't say what they wanted to say. Matityahu gets up over there and he simply slit somebody's throat, and he said they were so bloodthirsty that whenever they smelled blood, their adrenaline started flowing. Do I have to give you more choice selections? The Maccabim, almost probably the ugliest people that ever walked the face of this earth.
Yeah.
And the fact is that they should have remained dead all of these years, but the early Zionists resurrected them in order that we should have some kind of a past that shows heroic fighters. And they were not heroic fighters. They were Pashit, the lowest of the low, the dregs of society. This appears in Haaretz. By the way, not a single word about the fact that Eretz Yisrael was under the occupation of the Greeks. No, they went out and struck a blow against the Greek culture, the beauty of Greek culture. Okay. Second article. Matsada, these were Meshugoyim, not Meshugoyim. These were killers, fanatics, zealots, the dirt of the earth. Right? It's part of a whole approach, and the approach has been going on now for a number of years, which is to cut oneself completely off from the past. The past is ugly. The past bores me. That's not important. Forget it all. Just this morning, that I got my coffee down, was already in the country. So there's an article about the fact, it seems, you know, I think last Friday night, there was a program on Channel 10, a program of Hebrew songs. And there were thousands of people singing Hebrew songs. You know, from the old days? Adama Adamati Huma Abate Baamaluchali Anubanu Artsal Nalima. Okay. All the songs that we grew up on, these were being sung. And there were thousands of people there, there were even young people, soldiers, and they were singing. So it seems that the critics, the television critics, were aghast at this horrible, horrible program that took place. Talking about these old songs, that created a culture of conquest and conquerors and killers. This is what they're looking for. And the fellow writes the article says that it seems that lacking any religious connection with the past, because they've been robbed of that, anything that connects them with history is something that is now overwhelming many Jews. They want to be part of it. They can't say Shema Yisrael, so what are they going to do? But they sing a song that represents a previous time when Eretz Yisrael was beautiful and we weren't conquerors, we were still good people. There were such things as patriots. And patriotism wasn't a dirty word. Moshe Rabbeinu learns on the second day that he goes out. Number one, he learns. There are Jews who will cut all of their ties with the past. They will cut their ties with the past. yesterday. The fact that Moshe saved us on yesterday means nothing to us on today. And he's going to go tell Pharaoh. Number two, you know what else he's learning? Unfortunately, that a Jew is capable, tragic as it may be, a Jew is capable of betraying his fellow Jews. We see evidence of this every day. To me, it is so painful, and that's why it's always on my mind. It's so painful. The whole world will know if somebody in Bethel is closing in his Mir Pesach. The whole world will know that there's construction going on in the West Bank. Every terrible thing, or semi-terrible thing, or not terrible thing that can be turned into something terrible, the whole world has to know about it. The Maharal, we will see, we're not going to go into the Maharal today. The Maharal says the greatness of Klal Yisrael is in silence. The greatness of Klal Yisrael is in the idea of sold. We are a people who dwells alone. And therefore, the moment that we begin to open up our mouths to the world, what happens is we fall. We're no longer the same Jews. Beautifully, he says, the Pasuk tells us, Ochein, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ochein noda hadavar. Oy, behold, it has become known. So the Maharal, and you have to take the Maharal, you know, there's such depth in the Maharal. He says the word Ochein, three letters, Aleph, Chaf, Nun. That's in Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Hayom and Nisam Polish Sar B'Shafit Aleinu Halorgeni Apol Ner Kasher Rabakas Amitzi Vayid Al Moshe Vayomer Ochein Al Dahat Avar. The Maharal says, you know, Chein, Chaf and Nun equals 70. That's the 70 nations of the world. The Aleph stands for the one people that dwells alone. But what happens when that one people, when they join with the 70, then the worst things can happen. Then it's a loss of Jewish dignity. Ochein, the word Ochein, represents the idea that there are Jews who are ready to join with the 70 nations of the world against the Jewish people. And he says that this is the great reason for all of our suffering. As long as there are Jews who will betray their people to the rest of the world, then we are in for very, very difficult times. And unfortunately, I don't believe that there ever was a time in Jewish history that we have so much betrayal of the Jewish people by Jews throughout the world. Unbelievable. It's so painful. It causes me a great deal of suffering. But Moshe Rabbeinu was learning this, and it's quite clear. I'm not reading anything into the Pasukim that I'm out there. Here are Dathan v'Abiram, two brothers. Two blood brothers who are locked in a struggle to the death. And who saves them? Moshe. And they betray him. There are Jews who are giving their lives to save fellow Jews, and other Jews will betray them to the rest of the world. Mitzner says, this morning in the paper, Mitzner says he will not join a unity government even if there's war with Iraq. Do you understand? Do you understand what that means? A man who's a leader, who hopes supposed to be a leader by Klal Yisrael, says he's not ready to join in a unity government. Two Jews cannot get together when there's a threat from the outside. It's unbelievable. This flies in the face of all of Jewish history. It's unbelievable. And he says this proudly, and he expects to get votes because of this. And you know what I'm afraid of? He may very well. To say, no, I'm not going to join a unity government, even if we're attacked. Unbelievable. How can somebody say it? I'm learning Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu is taught on the second day that he goes out that there's a reality that he's going to have to contend with. he's going to have to contend with the reality of people to whom the past means nothing. Not only the past means nothing, they want to bury the past. They want to bury it, make it filthy, make it dirty. Machada, the Maccabim. Just yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu had saved these people. Number one, they want to destroy the past. Destroy it completely. It's meaningless. And anybody who wants to destroy the past, you can be absolutely certain that he will not stop. Nothing will stop him. He will betray his fellow Jews. Just read the papers, and you'll see the betrayal that's going on all the time. It's extremely, extremely painful. But that's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu must learn. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to become the leader of Klal Yisrael, knowing what he is up against. It's unbelievable that such a story, such a story. When you take a look at the horror of the story, it's Dasan who was being beaten. It's Dasan's wife who was violated. And it's Dasan who betrays him. It's unbelievable. You can have Jews, heroes, living in Yehuda v'Shomron and Gaza that are taking the brunt, and they are accused of being the impediments to peace. It's unbelievable. It staggers the imagination. This is Dasan Avinah. Hemshech Yavo. There will be a continuation.